Yes, time is ticking away here on World Football Daily, and it's ticking away as well for all the big European sides as that transfer window deadline comes slowly but surely forward to us. Joining us now, a man who's going to take us through some of the big stories from today and hopefully give us a few rumours and tips about what else we can expect in the final few hours. Joining us from Goal.com, Mr. Eric Gomez on the line. Eric, how are you, mate? Whereabouts in the world are you right now?
Yeah, I'm sitting here in my apartment in Mexico City, getting ready for what has already been a wild transfer deadline day. And with that hangover from the Mexico-Denmark and all of the international action that we've had recently. So not doing too bad. How about yourself?
Very well indeed, my man. Very well indeed. Excited to have you on the show and excited to have you on such an important day as transfer deadline day. You touched on the hangover that you've got there from the Mexico-Denmark game from yesterday. Take us through this result and what it means to Mexico, because is there a disappointment about drawing with a side like Denmark? Or is it a case of, you know, Denmark still seen as one of maybe the European stronger sides in world football?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is respect, there is value when you play against a side like Denmark, especially because of the physical disparity that you have with, you know, traditionally Mexican players are not very tall, not very strong, although Morten Olsen seemed to think that the Mexican side kind of was very physical with his players last night. But I do think that the disappointment that we would feel stems from the fact that Mexico called up 10 of their 18 gold medal winners for this match. So there was that curiosity that this side would be able to mind the generational gap and would pretty much say, we've arrived, we're here, we're ready to be taken into consideration to the senior team. That didn't happen. We saw a lot of weak play from guys that were very important to that Olympic run, especially Marco Fabian in the second half, despite the fact that he did score that goal. So, that's basically where that stems from.
There has been a great amount of excitement in Mexico about this international side. It's been going from strength to strength, it seems. And then it got to the Olympics and seemed to kind of stumble. Sure, they got the gold medal, but at the same time, it wasn't the same style of football. It wasn't beautiful football that we were seeing. It was just getting it done. Has that continued for this Mexico side? Was that evident last night?
Yeah, that's Chepo de la Torre. You know, Mexico's national team manager is a guy that values order and he values tactical efficiency over anything else. I think that if we're expecting Mexico to take after their conquistadors in Spain and play that style of football, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Mexico is a team that right now values results over everything else, and I think that has two sides to it. The positive side, obviously, is that Mexico is obtaining the results that it never used to get, not only in the U17, U20, U23 levels, but also on the senior side. And I think that we will see a team that will vie for a top spot in the Confederations Cup. We will see a team that, should they qualify for the World Cup, which is pretty much a given at this point, will try to at least get to the quarterfinals in that tournament and take advantage of the great players that they've developed over the past few years. The other side to this is obviously the fact that Mexico is a team that has accustomed observers to playing at a certain style. You haven't seen the virtuosos that Spain or Brazil or Argentina have had in past generations, but you have had some very, very talented players don that green jersey. And right now, guys like Giovanni Dos Santos and Chicharito and even Carlos Vela, who has been away from the national team for quite a bit, aren't really displaying the football that we would be accustomed to seeing out of them. But it's not too bad as long as Mexico continues to get the results that they need going forward.
Yeah, they swept through the last round of World Cup qualification, Mexico. This result hasn't dented their spirit going into the hexagonal round of CONCACAF qualification for Brazil 2014, then?
Not at all. I mean, we still have to consider the fact that none of the Europe-based players were present for that match. Against Jamaica, we'll see Hector Moreno, who plays over at Espanyol. We'll see Giovanni Dos Santos from Mallorca. We'll see Chicharito. So there are still some players who have yet to integrate
to this national team that really kind of questioned them, the team that we saw last night. Oribe Peralta and Aldo Benitez were the starting strikers for Mexico. One of those guys will definitely be benched come February 6th and leave that spot open for Chicharito. That will make a world of difference on offense. On defense, we'll see a guy like Hugo Ayala, who started yesterday for Chepo de la Torre, sit on the bench and be replaced by Moreno. Moreno is, I mean, right now, one of the top 10 defenders in the Spanish league. Well, there is really no suspicion. There is really no sense of impending doom with this team going forward into the hexagonal. I think that the result in itself last night against Denmark was a hiccup, and Mexico will cruise on into Brazil 2014.
Talking of transfers today, obviously it's the big day, transfer deadline day, Eric, but a transfer that was big for Mexican football was Giovanni Dos Santos going to Spain, getting regular first-team football. How important is that for the national side and for his growth for the national side?
I think we saw Giovanni Dos Santos playing some pretty decent football despite the lack of first-team action with Tottenham back in 2011. That's just absolutely incredible goal that he put on Tim Howard in the U.S. men's national team in the Gold Cup final is a testimony to some pretty good football until he got injured in the semifinal match and he was unable to play against Brazil. And I think that this transfer to Mallorca is very important for the national team, because if Giovanni was just regular first-team football, then I would say that the sky's the limit for this guy when he does put it together and gets regular minutes, which he has been getting. I mean, Mallorca is not a top side in Spain right now. They're actually in the relegation race, but Giovanni Dos Santos has been slowly but surely getting back to his form. He scored a fantastic free kick goal in last week's loss, 3-2 loss, and he's slowly started to show the type of play that has been consistent with his national team call-ups. Also, we need to remind ourselves that Mexico are going to have three new players at least in Europe for the 2013-2014 season. Diego Reyes and Hector Herrera, both Olympic gold medalists, will be going to Porto in Portugal. And Javier Aquino, also a gold medalist, will be suiting up for Villarreal in the second division for Spain. So, you know, there has been a growing number of ambassadors for Mexican football.
Eric, it is transfer deadline day. Goal.com are running their transfer update all day long. You're going to have your eyes on all the deals that are taking place as well. For you right now, which is the most important deal that's taken place so far today on transfer deadline day?
The most important deal is the one that we've known about for a couple of days now. Mario Balotelli going to AC Milan. This is a guy who is incredibly talented. I would say gifted. I think everybody will agree with me on that. If he can just rein that temper in, hopefully for his sake, Milan can do so. But I think the one that's grabbing all the headlines right now, obviously, is David Beckham's going over to PSG. How much first-team football will Beckham get? I'm not really sure about that. That team is absolutely stacked with midfielders. I think a guy like Beckham, even at 37, could really help that team out in the short term. We'll definitely see him suit up in the Champions League. We'll see him here and there in the League One as PSG gear up for that championship run in their domestic league. But, you know, I'm really looking at these transfer deadline deals as more of long-term deals that will help the clubs out more than patches and quick fixes like we're seeing with Beckham. But that one definitely, I mean, it's up on our homepage right now, I'll tell you that much. So.
I mean, with Beckham coming from Major League Soccer back to European football, Is there a shadow over him about can he perform, especially at Champions League level?
Yeah, that's a big question. I would think that is a very important question that Beckham needs to answer, not only for the benefit of his personal image and his legacy as a footballer, but also for the legacy of Major League Soccer. If Beckham goes back and is absolutely disjointed from the rest of his team over in Paris, then that's going to be a pretty big black mark on MLS. Hopefully that doesn't happen. Beckham is a classy player. I think that he's never waned in his training regimen.
He's never lost that competitive fire. I think we've seen that, especially over the last two seasons in Los Angeles with both MLS Cup titles. But, you know, for me, it's not necessarily the fact that he's coming from America. It's the fact that he's 37. You can't run away from Father Time forever, even though Beckham is the type of player who won't necessarily, run all over the pitch for 90 minutes. Fatigue might be an issue. The fact that he hasn't played a competitive match in a couple of months might be an issue going forward. Ultimately, though, I think that we will see a Beckham that is ready for Champions League football, not necessarily as a starter, but, I mean, I do see him coming on in the second half of a tight match, especially, right now in the round of 16, and possibly make desperate for a player who will just take over a match. I think that Ezequiel Lavezzi has not been able to fulfill that role, which has had his trouble with PSG this season. A guy like Beckham might be just what the doctor orders for that team to settle down and play some good football.
Eric, is it easier for someone like Beckham to make themselves look good without doing too much? Beckham could just sit deep and ping a few long balls over the top and find his man, and people would say that's good enough for them. Do you think that's a fair judgment?
I mean, I wouldn't call that a fair judgment if we're going to say that that's not doing much, because I think Beckham is the best passer in the game, you know? If you're able to do that on a consistent basis, even if you're on the pitch for 20, 30 minutes, that's probably going to make a pretty big dent in a match. If you're yards away and give him the possibility of a clear-cut chance in front of goal, that's not showing off necessarily, you know. The question remains for us, is Beckham ready for 90 minutes of football? I think the answer to that is quite clear. At 37, I would not give Beckham, 90 minutes consistently, but what opportunity to make a difference in big games. And hopefully for him, hopefully for MLS, hopefully for PSG, obviously, they're the ones shelling out the cash right now. That's not a falsity.
Eric, we're just slightly losing you every so often, so I'll ask just a couple more questions and we'll let you get off if that's okay. American making no the problem. Headlines in the Premier League as well today. Brett Shea and his proposed move to Stoke, just waiting now on his work visa. Is this a great place for Shea to be going, to Stoke, considering the style of football they play, or is it good because, is it actually positive for him because of the American contingent they've got there?
I mean, I don't think that the style of play necessarily is going to benefit Breck. I do think that Stoke and the Premier League in itself is a good destination for all American players. We've seen guys like Jeff Cameron and Clint Dempsey and all of the goalkeepers excel there. So, you know, the fact that he is going to a place that he will have American teammates there is going to be huge. In the long run, though, I do see Breck moving on to a team that has more a style that suits him. I mean, playing on the wing for a team like Stoke City, he's not going to get much touches, in my opinion, whether he starts or whether he comes off the bench. This is a classic, lower tier, lower table EPL team that's just going to slam the football up and down the pitch, hoping for somebody to head it in. You know, Tony Pulis has been excited about this potential signing. Now it's closer to being a reality, but I do think that he will need to be patient with Breck. Breck will need to be patient with Stoke City, and hopefully he can move on in about a season or two to a team with a clear-cut emphasis on playing the ball on the actual pitch and on the air.
Eric, what moves do you see coming in the final hours of transfer deadline day today? Then is there anything that you think could surprise us, catch us off guard slightly?
I mean, as far as the APL is concerned, we're already seeing a couple of big rumors floating back and forth. Whether these have any weight to them remains to be seen. A big one that I've just seen is that would be absolutely huge for QBR, and it would be absolutely huge for players like Kagawa, players like Chicharito, who battle consistently for minutes with Welbeck, and it would mean sort of a triumph for them, and it would mean an opportunity for Welbeck to contend for a starting spot as a striker. We've seen him on the wing all season for Manchester United, more so due to the necessity and the injuries that team has seen. But Welbeck would be, I would say, better off getting the opportunity to be a striker with QPR. And then the other one that I think is pretty important, is Stekelenburg leaving Roma and going to Fulham. Fulham are in desperate need of a first choice goalkeeper, in my opinion. Stekelenburg has been having a lot of trouble over in Roma with his manager, so it makes sense for both of these teams to take this transfer to the next level. We still might see a shock move from South America to Europe, maybe not Neymar, for instance, but a couple of guys over in the Brazilian league that have been named in potential transfers might move on, maybe a big name Argentine. Even in Mexico, the tabloids are rife with either Colombian Duvier Riascos going to Germany, or defender Hiram Mier going to Newcastle or Liverpool. Mexican goalkeeper Guillermo Ochoa plays for League One side at Ajaccio, might move to Liverpool as well if that quick fire Pepe Reina move that we've heard so much about takes place. So there's plenty of time and, you know, plenty of guys available that might move on in the next few hours. We just have to wait and see.
And that's what we will be doing, waiting and seeing. And I'm sure there'll be plenty of us checking out goal.com's live transfer window feed as the news ticks in. Eric, a pleasure to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining us, talking a little bit of Mexican football and the transfer window as well, mate. And we look forward to getting you back on as soon as we can.
Thank you guys so much. Pleasure.
Pleasure as always is ours, Eric. Eric Gomez there of Goal.com and of course ESPN as well, joining us here on World Football Daily. You can follow Eric on Twitter at GoalEric, all one word, all lowercase, just GoalEric, GoalEric. And Eric will be keeping us up to date through Goal.com and through his Twitter feed as well.
We know you love that free bit from us here at WFD. Now go and sign up and get access to a huge archive of our content and interviews, and download the best daily podcast in America. Go to worldfootballdaily.com and become a member today.